God morgon från Paretodesken, måndagen den 19 juni. USA marknaderna, börserna stängde neråt i fredags. S&P var ner 0,4, Nasdaq 0,7. Men trots det så var det gains, positiv utveckling för veckan. Och det fortsätter en lång rad av veckor där de amerikanska börserna har gått uppåt. Längsta streaken utav positiva veckor sedan 2019. Och det här är någonting som är lite förvånande för de flesta i marknaden, att vi har haft en så stark start. Och vad som är noterbart i USA under den senaste månaden är att det inte bara är de största techbolagen som drar marknaden, utan de utvecklas också väl. Vi hade Apple på all time high i torsdags och Nvidia på all time high i fredags, och de fortsätter att addera support, men det är fler bolag som har börjat visa uppåtgående trend. Och det ser man om man tittar på Russell 2000, som är small och midcap indexet i USA, så är det upp 7% i juni. Medan det bara är upp plus 6,5% year to date. Så hela gains för Russell 2000 har kommit nu i juni. Tittar man på Nasdaq så är Nasdaq upp 31% year to date. Och någonstans 6% i juni, om jag minns korrekt. Så att vad vi kan se är att det är en större bredd i uppgången under de senaste veckorna. Från Paretos del idag så släpper vi en rapport på Securitas. Vi ser att det här är en aktie som vi tror kommer få en katalysator i sin Q2-rapport, där vi förväntar oss fortsatt stark utveckling i deras amerikanska verksamhet, som nu är den viktigaste vinstbidragaren för Securitas. De hade en bra organisk tillväxt på 7% i Q1. Vi ser den drivs av hög kommersiell aktivitet i marknaden, samt att man har ett av de stora kontrakten utvidgade man under första kvartalet, och båda de faktorerna kommer hjälpa till att driva organisk tillväxt även i Q2. Ovanpå det så har man ju förvärvet av Stanley, som adderar ganska mycket försäljning i USA, och som följd av det så kommer vi även se fortsatt marginalexpansion. Man levererade lite drygt 7% marginal. Vi tror att den kan klättra uppåt 8% i andra kvartalet i USA. I Europa, som var första kvartalets svagaste punkt i Securitas-rapporten, så tror vi att vi kommer se en förbättrad lönsamhet. Den svaga punkten i Q1 handlade om att marginalen var svag, och den var svag på grund av att man behövde använda subcontractors, alltså tredjepartsleverantörer, för att kunna möta den starka efterfrågan i marknaden. Och man hade även startup-kostnader i ett flygplatskontrakt som man startade under Q1. Och det här kontraktet, det kommer inte generera några mer kostnader, så här startup-kostnader i Q2, så det kommer bli bättre bara utav den anledningen. Och sen så tror vi oss veta att management har haft väldigt högt fokus på att få upp effektiviteten och lönsamheten i den europeiska verksamheten under andra kvartalet, och att det kommer ge resultat. Så att de här två faktorerna gör att vi ser fram emot Securitas.
Stort tack för det, Stefan. Tänkte också belysa lite senaste nytt i fastighetssektorn. Viktor Hökenhammar här, aktieanalytiker på Pareto. I fredags fick kreditvärderingsinstitutet Moody's ut och nedgraderade Fastpartner från investment grade till high yield. Ska vara tydliga med att vi inte har någon officiell täckning eller coverage på Fastpartner. Men kan då som sagt bara konstatera egentligen att man då har nedgraderat Fastpartner från BAA3 till BA1. Och den primära anledningen till att man nedgraderar Fastpartner är för att man räknar med att deras räntetäckning nu de närmsta 18 månaderna ska gå från 2,5 till intervallet 1,8-2,1. Samt att bolagen då inte kommer uppfylla en belåningsgrad någonstans runt 45%, vilket är då som krävs för att stanna kvar som BA3-ratat fastighetsbolag. Värt att tillägga dock att bolaget har varit ute i ett pressmeddelande med vd Sven-Olof Johansson, där man dels då inte beskriver att det här kommer få någon direkt större eller begränsad effekt egentligen på bolagets operations, men framförallt så belyser man och förtydligar att man täcker egentligen samtliga kapitalmarknadsförfall de närmaste 30 månaderna med befintlig likviditet.
So markets have started off really strong this year. We have the Nasdaq up 30% more than 30% year to date. And over the past few weeks in June, we have seen the Russell 2000 joining the performance. Russell 2000 is up 7% in June, which is also the performance for that index year to date. So we have seen a broadening of the positive development in markets, which in the beginning of the year was quite narrow and concentrated to a few really big tech names. With us to discuss if this can continue and what the setup is for the second half is Harry Colvin, Senior Economist of Longview Economics. Welcome, Harry.
Hi, Stefan. Thanks for joining me. Yeah, I mean, look, I think the fascinating thing about what you describe there is that there's a narrative building around this rally in markets, and it involves a lot of optimism. The debt ceiling, of course, has been resolved. Inflation's peaked. The Fed is pretty close to finishing on its rate hiking cycle. And there's a lot of chatter now that we're in a new bull market and we don't need to worry about recession risk. A new bull market has started. And so, you know, we can all be quite optimistic. And of course, the bulls, as you suggest, they're latching on also to this broadening out of the rally, not just from tech, but other sectors as well. And I have to say, it reminds me a lot of early February when the narrative was forming again around strong price action. And you'll remember at the time, there was an argument that there will be a no landing. This idea there won't even be a soft landing in the US economy. It'll just be absolutely fine. And of course, I think there are lots of problems with that view. I mean, I think early February is the right template. This market's moving higher on a short squeeze. Markets were deeply bearishly positioned in March. They've been rallying on a bit of liquidity. They've been rallying on a little bit of earnings. But really, it's not much more than that. The fundamentals are pretty poor. I think earnings will deteriorate in the second half. The credit cycle has turned and probably we're going to get a recession. And interesting as well to see the labour market also deteriorating at the margin. So look, we've got an inverted yield curve. We've got all kinds of signals that recession is coming. Money is way too tight. Credit conditions are at recessionary levels. This, I think, is a positioning story. It's a narrative change. This is how markets work, isn't it? They become overly greedy and overly fearful, and then they mean revert. And ultimately, fundamentals drive the medium term trend over sort of 6, 9, 12 months. That's what will dominate, is the macro challenge we've got ahead of us.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to agree there with such a strong start and the Nasdaq up plus 30% year to date. I mean, that in a calendar year is a really quite rare and very strong performance. So just by the numbers, the second half looks to be in challenging. And then adding to that, the weaker economic environment, which is, you know, quite deteriorating quite sharply. It doesn't set up very well for stocks. Are there any nuances in this? Are there any places in the market that you would prefer, or geographies that are less challenged than perhaps the US market?
Yeah, we quite like European equities. They're very cheap relative to the US and the rest of the world, and they're very oversold. And I think what's interesting is they're oversold and relative to the US, deeply oversold at levels from which normally they bounce pretty sharply on a relative basis. And we especially like some of the more defensive parts of the Eurozone equity markets, particularly Switzerland and also Spain as well. So, look, I think those are the places to hide. Those are the defensive parts. They're going to rally not just because they're relatively oversold, but also because probably bonds are going to be rallying over the course of the next 6, 9, 12 months, something like that as well. So that is the place to be in a strategic portfolio. Worth saying as well that I think the challenge that these US equity markets are going to have, particularly the frothy parts, is that we're going to see much tighter liquidity in coming months as the Treasury rebuilds the TGA, builds its balance, its account with the Fed. And of course, it does that by issuing lots of treasuries, sucking liquidity from markets. So I think that'll be a really key headwind for particularly US markets, particularly for markets which have been recipients of excess liquidity. That's where the liquidity now is probably going to be drained.
Drained, yeah. Is there any sort of specific timing of that that you expect, or how can you describe how you see that playing out?
Well, the consensus is the Treasury will issue about $1.3 trillion of treasuries over the next 6 months. So that's all by year end. So that's a big liquidity drain. And let's not forget, we've got QT ongoing as well. The Fed want to carry on with that. Net net, we've had additional liquidity in the last few months because of the TGA. And that has, in other words, that has fully reversed the impact of QT. Over the next 6 months, it'll be enhancing QT, it'll be adding to it. So I think we've got a major liquidity problem. We've also got a macro problem. And increasingly, we have a positioning and narrative problem, which is that the market is very net long. Everyone's bullish. Sentiment is very high. And of course, you know, you tend to get these very strong optimistic narratives emerging at around major local highs in markets. So we're ticking a lot of boxes for a very challenging summer in markets.
Yeah. That's very helpful and insightful. Thank you so much, Harry. And looking forward to carry on the discussion in a week or two.
Brilliant. Thanks, Stefan. Have a good week.
Thank you. Have a good week. Cheers.